And we are back on the pledge drive here, the Power of Prayer Spring Pledge Drive on AM 1160 The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager. It's been a long day. But anyway, we're sticking around with Jeff and Jamie Grebner, and we are now joined by Dr. Nick. Good afternoon, Dr. Nick.
Good afternoon.
Yes. And we're going to talk to you in just a little bit, but we like to start each hour off with a prayer. And we have a prayer. We have Ohema from Our Lady of Victory School on the line. Ohema, are you there?
Yes.
Awesome. That's great. And so what grade are you in, Ohema?
I'm in seventh grade.
Okay, great. What's like your favorite subject in school?
I like science, literature, and art class.
Oh, okay. That's a nice rounded balance there. I like that. Excellent. So, and so you have a prayer for us that you're going to kick off this hour for our pledge drive?
Yes, I was going to say the Memorare.
Okay. Go ahead, and whenever you're ready.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thine help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Ohema, that was beautiful. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, take care now.
Me too.
Okay. I love it when the kids pray. That is so awesome. So anyway, I want to just reset here. The phone number, if you want to call in and make a pledge. I'm just looking here. We got Natalie from Smyrna.
Thank you, Natalie.
Scott from Cumming and Leanne from College Park.
Thank you, Leanne.
Yeah. So, we're getting a lot of great play. We had a great story last time, and now we've got a great great hour coming up here with Dr. Nick. So I'll hand it off to you.
Great. Thanks again, Dave. And we're excited to be back here for the 4 p.m. hour of the Quest Pledge Drive. Again, my name is Jeff Grebner. I'm here with my wife, Jamie Grebner. We've been married about 15 years. We have seven children. We're expecting our eighth. Our parish is St. Francis de Sales. We do hybrid homeschooling through Regina Chile Academy, a little bit about us. And we've been doing natural family planning now for 15 plus years. And we kind of think we're, you know, experts, right? Because we've been doing it for 15 years.
We have the expert sitting across from us.
Yeah.
So that's who we're going to be talking to today.
So Dr. Nick Kongoasa.
We like to call him Dr. K.
Yeah, a lot easier. Dr. K, thanks for being with us today, and thanks for coming. You want to just give a little brief intro
here
about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Nicholas Kongoasa. I'm a gynecologist. We have a practice. The name is Reproductive Health Medicine and Gynecology. We are based in Norcross, Georgia. My wife and wife, we have five children. We are parishioners at Our Lady of Assumption in Brookhaven.
Yeah, and Dr. K has a impressive list of things. You know, he's a native Chinese Indonesian. He was educated in Singapore. He received his medical degree from the University of Manchester, United Kingdom. Following a research appointment at the Mayo Clinic, he did his OBGYN residency training at St. Peter's University Hospital in New Jersey. He completed his fellowship in minimally invasive and endometriosis surgery in Atlanta in 2014, and he's one of the top surgeons for that and has been in practice since. Opened his practice, reproductive health medicine, in 2019, and his practice focuses on gynecological care, infertility, reproductive health, and charting education, and all of his care is consistent with Catholic principles. I think a lot of women in Atlanta remember Dr. Kathleen Raviel and her GYN practice, which was in line with Catholic teaching. And women know how hard it is to find a good Catholic gynecologist who's going to help you. There's a lot of women struggling with infertility, and they're looking for someone that can help them, but while respecting the Catholic teaching. And Dr. K has taken up that mission for us. Thank you, Dr. K.
Can you tell us a little bit about your practice, what you do, and how, you know, it is in line with Catholic teaching?
Yeah, you know, I think we are a gynecological practice. We operate like typical GYN practice in that we see women of all ages. I think one of the reasons why the practice come into place is because a lot of women, a lot of families are just not satisfied at the current state of women's health.
Yes, I hear that over and over again.
Yeah, reproductive health, you know, kind of specifically when we're looking at that. And I think that is when we look at, we kind of step back and look at the current state or kind of mainstream GYN office practice, specifically reproductive health. You know, I think we can kind of say that a lot of treatment for women are what is termed as suppressive treatment, right? If a woman come to see her GYN or primary care physician or even girls seeing the pediatrician with acne or irregular bleeding or pelvic pain or PMS, probably about 8 out of 10 time, what is going to be offered to them is the pill or the contraceptive pill, the birth control pill. Now, the way the pill works is the pill works by suppressing ovulation. Yeah. In other words, what these medical providers are telling the patients, in my opinion, is like, I don't really sure what's going on. I don't really, in a sense, care what's going on. But here, you know, take the pill and it will just suppress your ovulation and will make everything, quote-unquote, regular. Right?
Right, and I think women, you know, they leave feeling like they didn't have anyone care for what they really needed.
Right. So another thing also is that we know that a lot of the issue with GYN medical conditions is something to do with ovulation. Yep. And when you have dysfunctional ovulation, that's where you have irregular bleeding. That's where you have low hormones during the second phase of your cycle, leading to abnormal bleeding or PMS and so on. And rather than suppressing the function, the goal should be restoring the function. So if someone have abnormal ovulation, rather than just throwing the pill, and suppressing the ovulation, we really should be restoring the ovulation. And that's what I think one thing that's very different with our practice is that we strive to restore ovulation. One of the main thing is that when you want to restore ovulation, you kind of need to know what ovulation is in the first place, right? And this is where NFP comes into place. Yep. NFP in a sense is training someone to recognize when someone's ovulating.
Yeah, so just for people who are listening, you know, NFP stands for natural family planning, but also could be called charting or ovulation awareness, fertility awareness, and there's different ways to do that. And Jeffrey and I, as a couple, learned to chart through a group called Couple to Couple League. I'm sure you've heard of them. And so we found it to be helpful in me being aware of my fertility, knowing what's going on in my body, discerning what God is calling us to, because we have to pray and communicate all the time, and practicing prayerful abstinence when being called to that, and then also participate in God's amazing plan to create new life and being open to that as well. So it's been very fruitful for our marriage, and it's been fruitful for me as a woman. So is this an integral part of your practice to teach women this?
Yeah, we take ovulation very seriously. You know, in a sense, we take ovulation as a vital sign of health, right? So the same way a vital sign, like blood pressure is a vital sign, your temperature is a vital sign, your heart rate is a vital sign, your respiratory rate is a vital sign. We also believe that ovulation is a vital sign that is unique to women. Yep, and we do take that in very seriously. And not only that, you know, we also give patients the tools to chart, right? So in our practice, for example, women can learn how to chart with one of our instructors at no cost to them, because we believe strongly in ovulation.
That's great. Yeah. So your practice is called RH, Reproductive Health. What is it? Reproductive
Health Medicine.
Health Medicine, but it's RHM. And you told me that there is actually a religious meaning behind the name.
Yeah. I think so. Kind of take a step back. You know, the reason why we chose the name Reproductive Health is, when you Google reproductive health nowadays, immediately what's going to come up is HIV testing, STD testing, contraception, abortion, and so on, right? So you know, reproductive health is currently associated with that. We feel that is not right. You know, reproductive health is an integral part of a woman's health that has to do with all the function of a woman's reproductive organs. Right, so just like cardiovascular health or GI health, reproductive health is another aspect of that, and should not be reduced to just abortion, sterilization, contraception, and so on.
Right.
So we chose that name that way, for that reason, and kind of like, you know, the other thing also is that if for those who are familiar with our logo, you know, our logo is basically the an ovulation cycle, an ovulation chart, specifically the family charting method. So you have the red, which is the menstrual bleed, and then you have the gray, which is the dry days, and then you go into the blue, which is the fertile window or the ovulation window, and then gray again, and then red, which is your period again. So it's a cycle. And going to the religious meaning now, RHM in the Jewish language, in the Hebrew language, the word for mercy. So this is what our Lord uses when he talks about compassion, about pity, about mercy, is Raham, and RHM is represents that, and the word Raham, the word mercy in a Jewish word, it comes from a root word Rahim, and Rahim is the womb.
Wow.
Again, Rahim and RHM also represents that. But essentially, you know, I think there is a profound meaning here, in the sense that the Jewish people understand mercy to be coming from a mother's womb.
It's beautiful.
Let me just jump in here real quick and just remind people that you're listening to the Spring Pledge Drive here on The Quest. The theme is The Power of Prayer on AM 1160, The Quest. And you can call 470-508-1160 to make a pledge or a donation. You can log on to thequestatlanta.com. Or if you don't have the app on your phone, why not? You need to have that app on your phone. And you can also make a donation from the app as well. And I also want to mention, too, we have a matching gift up to $2,000 this hour. So, it's probably obvious, but I'll just state the obvious, that if you make a $50 donation, well, now it's a $100 donation. You make $100, it's a $200 donation. So anything you give is going to be matched dollar for dollar, so that it doubles your power to be able to donate to the Power of Prayer Pledge Drive. So,
yeah, and, you know, support The Quest, because they're able to get this information out. Like Dr. K's saying, mm-hmm. It's so important for young women to hear the importance of charting and being aware of their fertility and accepting their fertility the way God created it, as opposed to what Dr. K is explaining happens in other GYN practices, where it's a suppression.
And you know, I just want to throw this in, because I heard, can I call you Dr. K? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. But when Dr. K was talking about that so many issues that they'll, you know, there are the cure, I'm making air quotes here, the cure is for them to go on the pill.
Right.
And a lot of women, I'm assuming, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming they think, I don't want to go on the pill, but I have no choice, because that's what they're prescribing for me. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is fairly accurate. And I think that kind of bring another point is that the other reason for our practice is more as a resource, right? So that now women have a choice of another option, mm-hmm. you know, if they believe what they believe is right for them.
Mm-hmm. So do you find, you know, how does the charting and fertility awareness, does it lead into a healthier lifestyle for women and help them kind of integrate healthier lifestyle, not just nutrition, but also spiritually?
I do believe so. You know, I do believe that it helps them restore, in a sense, restore their humanity. You know, I think disease, in a sense, is part of our kind of our fallen nature. And once we are able to restore our health, that also kind of bring us, in a sense, more wholesome towards our own humanity, our own calling. Right. I do think that right. health is a big aspect. Of that.
Yeah, so I'm sure you see the whole gamut of infertility issues. You know, endometriosis, you do surgeries. Is it weekly that you do surgeries for that? Or you?
Yeah, but once or twice a week.
Once or twice a week, and you're one of the top doctors for that. I have a sister in California who just came out of endometriosis surgery this morning with a NAPRO doctor in California. So I want to ask all the listeners to pray that her surgery was successful. Her name's Jessica, and so that she and her husband will be able to have a baby at some point. So, you know, God's plan that we're on air with you today, Dr. K. I know that when you go into surgery, you told me that prayer is an important part of that, right? For you?
Yeah. Prayer is so important. Another thing that you know I offer to patients is to pray with them before they go surgery, before they go under. And I think also during the surgery is at times is something that is quite nerve wracking, you know, is whenever we have like tough cases, it's just that you, in a sense, you can be very absorbed at your work, but you can also be very absorbed in prayer as well at the same time, you know. And I think,
right.
I think in a sense, for me, it brings me a lot of peace, you know, that whatever happens, things are going to be okay. You know, the second thing is that we recognize that we're not in control of anything. You know, our Lord is the one that is always in control of everything.
And your practice itself is structured around prayer, isn't it?
Yeah, we try. You know, we try every morning before we start work. We say like a morning prayer, Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, and just, you know, just a quick, we will serve you, Lord, and then also we also will offer at least an hour of our work time towards a special intention of the day. So whether or not it's family members who is struggling or for the last few days has been for Ukraine, of course.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me just jump in here real quick and just remind people that this is AM 1160 The Quest. This is our spring pledge drive, even though spring doesn't start for a few more days yet, but we'll jump the gun a little bit. The theme is the power of prayer, and you can call to make a donation or a pledge, 470-508-1160. You can do that on our website, thequestatlanta.com, or download the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. We're going to have to take a break here really soon. So do you want to do that now, or do you have a couple?
While you're on the break, if anyone wants to check out Dr. K's practice and see his beautiful logo that, you know, mirrors the Divine Mercy logo or Divine Mercy image, it's rhmgyn.com. That's rhmgyn.com.
Excellent. And
of course, call in and pledge. Support what the Quest is doing.
There we go.
You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, and this is our spring pledge drive, where the theme is the power of prayer. Keep listening for more stories of inspiration and hope through the power of prayer. After hearing these stories, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Power of Prayer Pledge Drive shortly on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
That's the power of prayer.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
There have been scared or hurting moms and dads who had an appointment for an abortion but changed their minds at the last minute. Their minds were changed because of 40 Days for Life, a peaceful legal prayer vigil that reminds couples of the hope they can find in God's love. You can sign up for one or more hours at the next vigil, March 2nd through April 10th, at 40daysforlife.com/Atlanta. Find out more at thequestatlanta.com.
Hi, my name's Mary, and I'm with my friends,
Janie, Rebecca,
and Luke.
And we're all students at Regina Chaley Academy
in Roswell, Georgia.
And you're listening to Atlanta's newest Catholic radio station, AM 1160, The Quest.
Listen on air or find us online at thequestatlanta.com any time of the day.
We're on The Quest!
The Quest presents Lesser Known Saints with Ken and Chuck.
Born on the Feast of the Epiphany, St. Gertrude was a Benedictine nun in Helfte, Saxony. She was one of the great mystics of the 13th century. Together with her friend and teacher, St. Mechtild, she practiced a spirituality called nuptial mysticism, essentially viewing herself as the very bride of Christ. Her spiritual life was rooted in a deeply personal union with Jesus and his Sacred Heart, leading her into the very life of the Holy Trinity.
The Lord dictated the prayer for the holy souls to St. Gertrude in a vision, promising to release 1,000 souls from purgatory each and every time it is said. She is the patron saint of gardeners, travelers, widows, the recently deceased, and the mentally ill. The West Indies also claim her as their patron saint. St. Gertrude was canonized in 1677 by Pope Clement XIII. Her feast day is November 16th.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
My name is Father Waldemar Patricia. I am pastor at Mother of God Church in Conyers, Georgia. And here is a prayer for Ukraine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, God of powers, and God of our salvation, look down with mercy and compassion on your humble servants. And out of love for mankind, have mercy on us and on the land of Ukraine. We, who are sinful and unworthy, pray unto you in repentance and with tears. Help us, O God, our Savior, and deliver the land of Ukraine. For you are the health and victory and salvation of them that put their hope in you, and unto you do we send up glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for your support and thinking about us. Please continue just to pray. God bless you.
The Power of Prayer Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to The Power of Prayer on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
That's the power.
On AM 1160, The Quest, I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager, and we are, this hour, we have Jeff and Jamie Grebner here with along with Dr. Nick, and I just want to mention real quick that if you're thinking about a pledge, you know, maybe not, but if you think about, like, maybe, I've been mentioning this earlier, your Netflix is a subscription. You don't think anything about paying $15 a month for that. And really, what is that doing for you spiritually? Probably not a whole lot. But The Quest is something. I mean, if you're into the programming here, think about maybe a $15 or $20 a month donation. Think of it like it's a subscription to something like that, like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. Just look at it that way. And 470-508-1160 is the number to call.
Yes, and by supporting the Quest, you are helping support getting the word out about Catholic fertility. And, you know, so often, just in today's culture, people just don't know. They just don't know what to do, where to turn. And so supporting, you know, platforms like the Quest help us get that word out. I really think, honestly, in today's day and age, NFP could be a really easy sell, right? Like, it's a good fit for today's culture. It's green, it's natural, it's healthy. I mean, it's got all the buzzwords, right? Mm-hmm. So we just need to get the word out. Honestly, we need to get the word out. It sells itself, really. I mean, we love it. Jamie and I have been doing it for 15 years. We love it. But Dr. K, what, you know, I know one of the most important things, you know, for women nowadays are, you know, when unfortunately they are, you know, they're not able to conceive. And so when they come to you, you know, what are some of those things that you would guide a person along when they're struggling with fertility?
Yeah, and I think to that, you know, I just want to kind of add something else to what Jeff has said about NFP. You know, NFP is not, it's all of the above, but it also, it just makes sense, right? It makes sense spiritually, emotionally, but I think most of all, it makes sense health-wise and medically. And in our practice, you know, we promote NFP. We don't call it NFP. We call it more ovulation tracking or charting, mm-hmm. because when a woman is proficient in NFP, she knows exactly when she ovulates, right? And knowing when someone ovulate, you're then able to objectively look at a chart or fill in a chart, and you can use that information much more above and beyond family planning. You know, I think that. It's just a window into women's and hormonal health and immunological health, for that matter.
Yes.
And a lot of patients who come to us are suffering. A lot of couples are suffering from infertility. And I think that the sense that we get is they're just very tired as to how they're being or how their infertility have been treated. I think when we talk about earlier on about most of GYN, a medical approach is suppressive. Most of the GYN approach to infertility, again, is what I, in my opinion, term as bypassing. So we recognize that there is an abnormal function in a women's reproductive system, yep, or even in men's reproductive system that then causes infertility and them not being able to conceive. But rather than restoring those abnormal function, nowadays most infertility specialists will look at, I don't really care about what's wrong with you. You know, I have advanced technology to bypass all those function and produce a baby for you, right?
Mm.
And I think that is one thing that I think can be dehumanizing. You know, in a sense, you are now into this. Like assembly line almost, mm-hmm. that there is a protocol. There's only one protocol for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the protocol is towards the end, which is IVF. And I think that is very unfortunate because what happened then whatever disease process is going on in the woman's body, in the man's body, is never being treated, right? So if someone is not able to ovulate because, say, she has insulin resistance, and then they're just being pumped medication just for that to produce an offspring, then that woman's insulin resistance is never diagnosed and therefore not treated, and mm-hmm. she's therefore at higher risk of developing diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So in our practice, again, you know, we go back to restorative. We want to restore the abnormal function. We want to restore that back to normal function. And when couples go to us, they ask about, you know, what is your success rate? Is the answer is always the same. It's not about the success rate. You know, our goal here is not to produce a baby for you. Our goal here is to restore you to normal health so that you and your husband are able to have a baby on your own. But again, if the primary fallback is, the priority is restoring the health of the woman.
Right. Right. That's, yeah. That's so encouraging for the, I think, a lot of women to hear that you do that.
So one of the main causes, like you mentioned last time, of infertility is endometriosis. And to be honest with you, I don't fully know what that even means. So can you just give me a brief, what is that? And is there a way to prevent it from recurring or worsening? Or is there a solution or anything like that?
Yeah. Endometriosis is basically when a woman have cells that is very similar to the lining of the uterus outside of the uterus. And when those cells are outside of the uterus, it causes a lot of inflammation, causes a lot of scarring. The inflammation and scarring then basically lead to the two main symptoms of endometriosis, which is pelvic pain and infertility. Now, right now, you probably see ads on the TV about endometriosis medication. Right now, kind of most GYN will treat endometriosis. First line is again by suppression. Yep, they will suppress the ovary from producing as much estrogen, and therefore there's less inflammation. But I think one thing that we still don't know is that, and I think that this is what's happening, is that even though the inflammation is reduced, the disease is still progressing. So right now you have a disease that is still progressing when the woman is thinking that they are okay, they feel better, right? So we see this very commonly. Teens are being placed on birth control, or women in the young 20s, like in the late teens or early 20s, are put on the pill. And then when they stop that in about like 8 to 10 years' time because they want to try to conceive, they are not able to. Work up then leads to have surgery. And then when we go into the surgery, the woman have stage 4 endometriosis or advanced endometriosis, right? And then by that time, we think, what if this woman have this surgery earlier, like maybe 5 or 7 years ago, then the disease is not that advanced, and we can then be more successful in removing the disease, in treating the disease. And I think that if, let's say, the woman is not on the pill for such a long time, then in a sense, GYN and the doctor, in a sense, are forced to do intervention a lot sooner. So I think when we are not suppressing disease can therefore be identified and diagnosed a lot earlier, when things are still easier to be treated, and prevent infertility and death.
Right. Some of these women, they have no idea until, because no doctor has told them this information, and they're charting, and until they start charting and really seeing what's going on, they don't have an idea that they have this. Please call in and pledge to the Quest. The Quest gets out this information to people so that women know where to go to get help. It's thequestatlanta.com or 470-508-1160.
Now, Dr. K, you also are very involved in abortion reversals. Can you tell us a little bit about what your practice does with that?
Yeah, so we are part of the Abortion Pill Reversal Network. So that is through Heartbeat International. So just a little bit about medical abortion. Medical abortion, I think, was legalized, was FDA approved in 2001, I believe. And I think when they started, it accounts for about 5% of all abortions. In 2016, it was 39% of all abortions are medical.
Wow.
So the FDA has approved the medication called RU486 or mifepristone to be used as a medical means of abortion for up to 10 weeks. So women at up to that point when they want to undergo abortion, they have a choice, surgical or medical. Now the medical, the RU486 works by, it's called a progesterone antagonist. Yep. So what it does, it sits on the progesterone receptor within the lining of the uterus. And then it when it sits on the receptors, progesterone cannot act on the lining. And therefore, the lining start to degenerate or disintegrate. So the baby that is on the lining implanted will also degenerate because the lining is not good. So that's how the abortion pill work. Now, the abortion pill reversal can be done up to 72 hours after the woman have taken that first pill, the IU-46.
I didn't know that.
And the way it works is that the medication that we use to counter the abortion pill is progesterone. So we now basically we are loading the woman with progesterone in hoping to fight or to compete with the RU486 and sits on the receptor first, sits there for a longer time. In that way, then the lining is maintained and the baby is kept implanted in the uterus.
And how does your practice get involved with that? There's a is it the
is there a hotline?
Yes, there's a hotline. So everything is centralized. So there is a nationwide hotline. You can go to Heartbeat International or you can Google abortion pill reversal, and they will then call that number. There's always a nurse working at Heartbeat International taking the call. Then they will then kind of like, you know, get a history, get the proper consent. And then after that, then the woman will be connected to a medical provider on their network that is closest to her zip code. And I think one thing that we are doing quite a bit is that we are partnering with a lot for the woman for abortion pill reversal in Georgia. We work very closely and we work very a lot with the Pregnancy Aid Clinic.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So our Pregnancy Aid Clinic is more the pregnancy resource center, because I think that a woman undergoing abortion pill reversal, the medical aspect, the prescription of the progesterone is a very small aspect of that. You know, I think a bigger aspect is taking the woman out of crisis, mm-hmm. right? And that is the role of pregnancy resource centers mm-hmm. like PAC, like Pregnancy Aid Clinic.
Right. And last year, maybe since last year, you've saved about 87 lives, like babies' lives, done 87 abortion pill reversals.
Right. So we start doing that in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's about right. No, last year we did 43.
Okay.
And then
maybe that includes you do some in Alabama.
Right, we're starting to do in Alabama. But so far like 2020, 2021 and 2022. The number of abortion pill reversal is increasing. I think the worst is getting out there.
Well, and to get, you know, the word out about all of this, the Quest does a great job of that, and so call in and pledge 470-508-1160 thequestatlanta.com.
Dave, do we have any recent pledge recent donations?
Yes, we absolutely do. Aaron was actually touched by your brother Gary's story and donated, so that was nice. Yeah. Viola from Mableton.
Thank you, Viola.
Or no, from Rockmart. Elizabeth from Marietta, Stephen from Bakersfield, California says we love the Grebners.
Oh, thanks,
and the Quest.
We love you.
So yeah, we love you too. Yeah, absolutely. And Jeremy in Alpharetta and Jeff in Douglasville and Donna as well. So thank you all for donating. And we still have that match on the board. I just want to mention that, you know, if you donate $25, it's a $50 donation. $100, it's a $200. Dollar for dollar, they're going to match you. And so this is a great time. If you're thinking about it, this is like one of the best times to do that.
Please call in. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. K, thank God for your practice. And thank you for everything you do. If there's a woman out there right now that just wants to kind of support her fertility and just, you know, I guess, you know, strengthen her reproductive health, what would you suggest just kind of off the bat?
Yeah, I think charting is a very powerful tool. You know, I think what charting does, it helps the woman kind of really repossess herself again. And I think right now knowing a third thing is also always about knowing about her body, and I think that is getting less and less. I think there's a study that is done not too long ago that say only 5% of women knows when they ovulate.
Wow. Right?
So yeah. You know, in a sense that is a big problem. It's just saying that only 5% of humans know when they're hungry, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's that instinct that has been kind of taken away because of convenience, you know, because of the pill kind of being kind of the go-to, and that has just being perpetuated over the mm-hmm. years, right? So when a young girl have a GYN issue, she asks her mom doesn't know what's going on. She asks her grandmother doesn't know what's going mm-hmm. on. She asks a doctor, and all they can offer is the pill, right? So there's a big kind of like cultural shift there that we are trying to change. We're mm-hmm. trying to say that it's not good enough for that only 5% of women knows when she ovulates. You know, I think that is a big problem, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the statistics out there is that couples who practice natural family planning have a 0.3% divorce rate. And Jamie and I have found that to be true in our marriage, just in the fact that doing natural family planning, doing it together, charting, knowing Jamie's body, having that monthly discussion of whether or not we feel we're called to have a child, fosters communication. And, you know, we're talking more and we're communicating more, and it's just been such a blessing. Can you speak for a moment just on how charting, knowing your body, and how just that communication, not only between each other, but, you know, that prayer and communication with God factors into it?
Yeah, and I think it everything is, you know, everything that our Lord has created has a meaning. It's an image of something else, right? Mm-hmm. I think that constant communication between husband and wife, you know, is a constant dialogue. And the same thing, you know, prayer is about dialogue with our Lord, right? It's the constant dialogue with our Lord, you know?
Yes.
And the constant contemplation with our Lord. So I think it's very profound that prayer is actually something that is very human. Right? It's something that because our Lord, well, I mean, it's something that's very human, and our Lord pray as a human being. Mm-hmm. And same thing with NFP is that constant dialogue, you know, and also in a sense in our practice as well, because we do restorative reproductive medicine, because we use ovulation as a vital sign of health, there's a lot more communication between our staff and our patients, right? I think it's just one of those things that you know, Pope Francis mentioned that his theme of evangelization is attraction, attract, encounter, and accompany. Right, so something attracts, and then we encounter the person, and after that we accompany them in our journey. I think that NFP is very much that, and even more, and also in a sense prayer too, and also with dialogue, with relationship, you know, there's always going to be up and downs, right? So it's also another like you mentioned, there's a big school of virtues there, you know, you kind of sharpen your virtues, you know, your patience, temperance, fortitude, and all that. And we see that also in our practice as well with when we are accompanying, or when we're talking, when we're encountering our patients, you know, there is that we're helping our patients with, in a sense, with their virtues, but we're also actually helping ourselves with our virtue as well as we are caring for our patients too.
Right, that's beautiful. You're on the front lines of evangelizing, really, converting hearts and helping, and just helping your patients. You're helping women draw closer to God, really.
That's a great way to look at it, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what about all those, you know, I know a lot of young Catholic women, including my sister, who, you know, did everything right, following all the church's teachings, start charting, learn about their health, but don't quite know what the next step is when they can't conceive. What, you know, when they have their chart, what's the next thing that people do when they come to you?
So when they come to us, is this for women who are basically not able to conceive? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need to look at all the reproductive system. You know, I think in our practice, when a woman comes to us with our practice, with any problems. Infertility is one of them. I think one of the things is that we never see infertility as a diagnosis, Right?
Oh, okay.
We see infertility as a symptom. You know, I think a lot of infertility specialists see infertility as a diagnosis, and that's why they move on very quickly to kind of just bypassing all the systems.
Right. But things that aren't in line with the church teaching.
Correct. Correct. You know, and also because we see infertility as a symptom, then we want to know, okay, which system is breaking down or has broken down and therefore give the symptoms of infertility. So we look at all the systems. You know, there is a big hormonal panel that we do for patients.
Okay.
We look at the function of the fallopian tubes. We look at semen analysis as well. Well, we have the husband go to get the semen analysis done. So we look at all the different systems, you know, starting from the vagina up all the way up to the hormone function, whether or not a woman ovulate. We do scans before and after the woman ovulate to see if she's able to have a mature follicle and to see if she's able to rupture the follicle and all that. Yeah.
Right. So you're not, I love that. Your diagnosis is not infertility. It's something else. And you're looking for what that other thing is. How does the Holy Spirit guide you through all of this? And when you, as you work for, with through patients or for patients?
Yeah, I think it's that is the Holy Spirit is with us in all that we do. You know, the same way our Lord is also accompanying us and all and everything that we do. You know, our Lord is always present there. You know, we truly believe that, and therefore I think with a lot of struggles, we, in a sense, we are always at peace knowing that.
Right. Well. We're on the quest with Dr. K. If you want to send in a pledge, it's thequestlanda.com or call 470-508-1160. If you want to check out Dr. K's site, it's rhmgyn.com. He has a lot to offer on there about charting. He has a program, a free program for teens, is that right, or younger people to learn more about charting. And go to his website, check him out. If you're interested.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excellent. We're wrapping up our time with both of you here. And Dr. Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very informative for me. I mean, and I'm sure our listeners too. I can't imagine they didn't get something out of this. And Jeff and Jamie Grebner.
Yes.
I erased the A out of there and somebody wrote it back up there. But I wanted to spell your name phonetically. Jeff and Jamie Grebner, thank you very much for being here with us. And
thanks for having us. So, and thank you to all those who donated. We really appreciate your support.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back in just a little bit.
AM 1160, The Quest, WCFO East Point, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Welcome to the Spring Pledge Drive, where our theme is The Power of Prayer.
In this episode of Behind the Quest, we'll examine the effort made to make sure you're plugged in and know what's going on locally here in the Atlanta Archdiocese and even in your local parish. How does the Quest keep our listeners plugged into things happening locally in the Atlanta Metro?
I'm Kathy McCormick, and I'm the marketing manager here at The Quest. What's great about Catholic Radio is the way it can extend the local Catholic community. You know, there's so many wonderful things going on in the Catholic parishes and schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. It's nice to have parishes kind of be able to know what's going on next door in a way. Some parishes may not have the opportunity to offer a Lenten mission, but the parish next door might. And so you can go to that, and having that all on the community calendar. So the radio has a unique way to promote everything from fun runs to Lenten missions.
You mentioned the community calendar, which is a great way to stay plugged into what's happening locally. Can you tell us more about that?
We have a community calendar on the website. By going to thequestatlanta.com and clicking on events, you can find the community calendar, and listeners can find out about what's going on, programs being offered, national speakers coming in, that kind of thing. So it's really the local Catholic radio station can build that community here, which is nice.
So if we go to the community calendar at thequestatlanta.com right now,
What's an example of something we'll see there?
The Relics, March 31st, happening at All Saints. And that's something that is a national kind of a pilgrimage. Father Carlos is coming and brings these relics and travels around. They come here and there, you know, they come once in a while. And it's nice to have that available to us.
Yeah, and if it weren't for the Quest, we might not even know about it. Looking at the calendar on thequestatlanta.com right now, I see the Sacred Relics on March 31st. It's a teaching and exposition of sacred relics. Over 150 relics are going to be there, some as old as 2,000 years. Among the treasures are going to be relics of St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Thomas Aquinas. There's also going to be a fragment of the veil that belonged to Our Lady, and some of the largest remaining pieces in the world of the wood of the true cross. That is amazing. You can find all that information at thequestatlanta.com. And I'm sure there's plenty of other local information there as well.
We promote what the Archdiocese of Atlanta, the Chancery, what they're putting on, the different things. With the Eucharistic Congress, there's Starve Wars, which is a service project that happens Friday morning of the weekend of the Eucharistic Congress, where you can come and make sandwiches. And I think this year they're partnering with St. Vincent de Paul to serve the community.
So all of that is information you might not know about if not for the Quest broadcasting it and posting it on thequestatlanta.com. When you support the Quest, you support your local parish, your local community, as well as the Archdiocese of Atlanta. Lori Marchuk, who does our donor relations here at the Quest, what would you like to add?
We use those donations just to better our programs and reach out to the community, because we have a lot of outreach through our parishes and through different ministries, the Knights of Columbus, pro-life ministries. I mean, you can go on and on about the different ministries we try to partner with. So it really is about joining a community of faithful Catholics and even non-Catholics, though, just bringing them to our Lord as believers.
Thank you all for sharing your thoughts and stories for this episode of Behind the Quest. Be sure to call in with your donation at 470-508-1160. Or you can do it online at thequestatlanta.com or right from your phone. Download the Quest Atlanta app to make your donation today. And now back to the pledge drive with our theme, The Power of Prayer.
That's the power.